Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. You have entered Comedy Film Nerds episode 353.
That's the correct number, too.
That is the correct number. Last week we were one off, but we corrected it in the actual file that you downloaded onto whatever electronic device you're listening to this to. Maybe you have a Philco. Maybe you're gathering around
your... You have a Newton.
You're gathering around your computer as you once did for FDR's fireside chats.
That's what your family does, right?
Oh, that's what my family does. I know, like, literally, my mom and her boyfriend are probably listening to this by the fireplace.
On a laptop?
On a laptop or on their iPad. Because they don't
navigating
have,
to the website, hitting play
iPhones.
On the player.
They don't like iPhones. They're very against them.
Hey, but can still get the show.
As long as you can get the show, guys, that's all we care about.
You don't need a smartphone.
You
can use a dumb computer.
You can have an antenna. You can do it in multiple ways. We have a quick announcement to make, guys. We are going to do a show at the San Francisco Sketch Fest January 24th, and due to multiple scheduling conflicts, we had to cancel it.
It didn't work out, so we're sorry about that.
It's our fault. We apologize. If they haven't put it on their website, they will. And you can, if you already bought tickets, you can get a full refund. We're just too busy with everything. Earbuds, and we're looking to get funding for some other movies. So
let's turn that into some good news now. That was the bad
Chris,
news.
Why are we so busy? What has taken up our time?
You know what showed up? The DVDs.
You mean the 22 boxes of DVDs that
I had to move just so you could sit down?
That now we're sleeping on?
Yes.
That you built into a guest house and you're renting it? Your Airbnb being the DVD boxes.
It's and I got to say, they look fantastic. They came out really, really well.
The boxes.
The boxes look fantastic.
The boxes look great.
Even UPS said these are the best boxes we've ever delivered.
They're tightly packed. They were uniform for their cart.
All the same color.
Great. I mean, the labeling from the DVD replicators was great.
They put it in a nice pyramid. So
you
really
turned it into a swing set for your kids.
Yeah, it's been great.
No, but this has taken us a lot of time. I know we were trying to get this done before the holidays.
Yeah.
It's a lengthy process, and it's literally just...
It's a post house. It's an artist. It's a replicating house. It's a ton of moving parts, but it is done. It looks great. There's a really cool spot on the DVD case to get signatures for your favorite podcasters, and Graham and I will sign it, so that'll start you off with two.
Yep. You'll have two. So it's not a pre-order anymore. We will start shipping those out. All of you that paid, that got DVDs...
Pre-ordered?
That DVDs in your Kickstarter.
Oh, they're going out too, yeah.
Those will be going out.
In another 8 months. Yes.
We're doing media mail.
Yes.
By media mail, we're just putting it in a guy's backpack and hoping it makes it to your town.
Yeah, but no, they will be out. They'll be starting to go out this week, the Kickstarter physical rewards, the DVDs first, and then we'll work on the stuff that's a little more complicated, like Bane shirts and things that we may have to reorder.
Yeah.
But they're out, they're here, they're ready to be purchased in the store, and the DVD has a few extras that are not on the downloads, and that is Graham and I, when we did the Force Awakens premiere in Australia, there's two television segments. We put those on the DVD, too.
Yeah, there's an extended Japan scene, there's a...
And the trailers are also on the DVD.
The trailer's in the DVD, there's...
There's a lot of really cool extras.
Extra stuff that's on there. And there's a couple extra things you can't even get with the digital download extras.
Right, exactly.
It's everybody involved from Paige Branson to Brian Wolf, who helped put everything together. He's Paige artwork, and Brian
did the layout.
It's an awesome thing, and we're really, really proud of it.
One of the things we're really thankful to Paige for, too, is she didn't just create like one piece of artwork. She created a suite of artwork, and they all complemented each other. Mm-hmm. So Brian was able to take pieces of each thing and lay it out in different ways, like just from the DVD tray to the cover, and it all worked out really nicely.
So get your DVDs, guys. Get them signed, and then, you know, if you are already going to go to Sketchfest anyway... we'll ship it to you, and then you can run around Sketchfest and get people who are in it to sign it.
Yes. Or wait for next year.
Or wait for next year. Or come to another, our 1 year.
LA Podfest.
LA Podfest, which we're going to be announcing those dates very soon.
Yes, it is happening for sure.
It's happening. We have a new hotel.
We have a new venue. The dates are locked in. We'll be announcing very soon and be putting tickets on sale very shortly.
So big, big things are happening. Let's introduce another first-time guest.
Very patient.
Very patient guest.
Yeah. I know you guys have work to do.
Yeah.
Business to take care of.
Ladies and gentlemen, Casey Affleck.
Casey.
Yeah.
It's great to be here. Just run with it, guys.
Yeah, all right.
It's going to be good for you if you commit to this improv exercise. Trust me. How do you like my beard?
It's a great beard. I like the man bun.
I ask because I'm Casey Affleck.
I know. Yeah.
The real Casey Affleck.
You're dodging rape allegations. You're doing a great job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not here to talk about that.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
Yeah. I'm here to ignore that.
Talk about being a vegan.
It's horrible.
It really
I don't
is.
Recommend it.
I can tell you. It's awful. This comic I've known for many years, was just on his podcast. We'll get into that. And we've, been on, Ice House Chronicles numerous times together.
We have, and we did a show together as far back as 2001. I remember, I can tell you about
fellow
that.
Fellow ATC comedian and podcaster.
Yes. Matt Fulcheron.
That's me.
What was the 2001
show? The suspense was
show?
Killing me.
I just, you needed an identity.
We did a show that Adam Grotman ran on Melrose, like Melrose and Fairfax. And I remember, you know, it was a different world back then because I remember I was emceeing and I remember meeting Maria Bamford and going, oh, there's no way this woman could be funny. Yeah. Not because she was a woman. She just was like very quiet and everything. Right. And then she went up there and was just so fucking funny.
Right. Right.
So that was like a different era. Like you don't know who you're actually like working with. You don't
have any idea.
You don't even know till you get there.
Right.
Nowadays, you're like, there's so many. It's so tweeted.
Right.
And advertised that you're like looking people up. Who am I working? You got nothing better to do.
Right. You can go and see clips on all of them. Know all of what whoever they've worked with.
Yeah.
Listen to their thing or whatever. Like,
right.
And show up.
Yeah.
I know. God, that's right.
Got an actual surprise.
Yeah.
You know, it was great.
I remember that gig now. I remember those little gigs that we all sort of showed up at and just needed time for and had the six people in the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember still learning about, like, I was so new to comedy. I remember learning about comedy at like midnight on Comedy Central. Like, you just kind of had to wait for it to come on and stuff.
It's so funny. I've talked about this on other podcasts. I'm sure you have too. Like, the young comedian or new comedian today. Just listen to podcasts. Like, I feel like the newer comics are way more educated on just
big time
etiquette.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they know, oh, don't run the light.
Don't copy material.
Don't copy material.
They know what material not to copy because they get to hear everybody's shit.
Yeah, because everyone has an album out.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, it's accountable. Like, no, I dropped that on my album 6 years ago.
Right.
So that's mine.
Yeah.
I got that. Like,
you got beef?
Yeah.
You got beef? I got facts.
You know, and it's like...
It's different from digital to, like, touring. It's like a completely different world.
Oh, yeah. And they... You can... And when I started, when you started, you watched Comedy Central. That's how you got, and you talked to the comics you were on the road with. When you emceed, you talked to the headliner, and they would give you like, hey, don't do this, do that, or whatever. And you had to kind of figure that out.
You know?
Like, I'd see headliners like, oh, they tip the waitstaff at the club, and they are like, and I'm going to the bar trying to get a drink when the bar's busy getting the first round out, and the headliner's like, get the fuck out of there. Get out of their way. Wait. And I was you know, I remember swearing as an MC, and the owner or the manager of Zany's in downtown Chicago pulled me aside and goes, no.
Yeah.
No F words in the MC spot.
Right.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I've actually come across that rule.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of clubs had that.
Oh, yeah. They were like, you got to be squeaky clean. He goes,
right.
You know, and I was like, but the headline goes,
Don't matter.
Don't worry, worry about your 15.
You're not here to kill, homie.
Yeah, I know.
You're here to take that bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're here to prepare the audience for the following
get
comedians.
The plane off the ground.
I remember in that same conversation I was like, all right, after my set I was like, you guys ready to get this show started? And he goes, no, You are the show.
Yeah.
You start it.
Right.
You say that at the top of the show.
Yeah.
When your set's over, we're going to keep it rolling. Bring up your next comic.
Y'all ready to deal with the fact that this show was started 15 minutes ago?
Yeah, make it extra wordy. Yeah.
We're deep up in this show. And it ain't going to stop right now.
And I was like,
I'm bringing up another comic.
Yeah.
Because I am a comic.
Yeah. I'm not just some wedding DJ.
Right.
You know what I mean? Bringing up someone just to give a toast.
That'd be a nice crutch to fall back on, though. A couple turntables every once in a while. Accent a couple punchlines.
So what is your, tell us about your podcast.
Podcast is nonsense. It's called The Full Charge Power Hour. And it's just me and a couple friends dicking around. If you listen to this podcast, a good episode to start on is, I think, 2-1, it's either 215 or 216. Graham Elwood is on it. And so, you know, we do talk movies.
Right.
We do talk.
An entry point. That's an entry point for the podcast.
That's an entry point for these listeners.
Yeah.
100%. It's the number one episode I recommend to your fans.
Yeah,
you know,
it was cool.
It's the spinoff.
You had some crazy, your crazy buddy.
Yeah.
He's like a liberal redneck.
Yeah, this guy's a character. His name is Eric Wendell. He's from West Virginia, but he's been in California for 15 years. So he has a Democratic agenda, but the accent and the anger of a Republican.
It was hilarious. He's like, you got this Trump. Like, he sounded like a person at a Trump rally, only swap out a couple of words.
Yeah.
Yeah, and making it all angry at Trump.
At Trump. It's that is amazing. If you need to fast forward an hour in to Graham's episode, that's where Eric Wendell shows up. You can Tarantino this episode and listen to the end first.
Yeah. And
you know?
It was and he's always, it sounds like he always calls up after a couple, three beers, maybe?
No, that was a rare episode. I forget what time of day we taped that. He's usually not drunk.
Okay.
But on this special episode of the Full Charge Power Hour, he is indeed intoxicated. It's pretty great. I recommend it.
Nice. Well, all right. Let's
talk about some movies.
Let's talk about some movies, buddy. What do we want to go after first?
Let's start with Moonlight.
You saw Moonlight.
I saw Moonlight.
I'm excited to see this.
Okay. Now, first of all,
it's gotten buzz. The Oscar nominations are coming out. It got some Golden Globe nominations.
It won Best Drama.
Yeah, Best Drama.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll call it on that one.
Unless it was a comedy.
What do you think this movie is about?
From what I've seen of the trailer, it looks like it's about...
That's racist.
Oh, no. We've got some white guilt coming about anything I say. That's so great. Just put you on the defense. Yeah. Oh, wow. You're going to say that a day after MLK?
Graham.
Yeah, you're going to say trailer?
Jesus,
really?
Jesus, Graham.
Wow, amazing. That's a really brutal. Your fucking white privilege is just oozing into this. It looks like it's about a young guy sort of growing up. And Marsala Ali plays sort of his mentor, and from what I saw an interview with him, you know, he's sort of a street guy trying to mentor this kid, but it also looks like it has to deal with some sexuality as well, because it looks like he grows up and maybe there's a relationship with this
guy. And that's where the moonlight comes in.
Hello. But that's what it looked like to me, sort of.
When you say some sexuality, what do you...
I say, like, it looks like maybe he's gay.
Okay.
And he's dealing with being a gay man in the hood and growing up in the hood as a young black man and being gay and what that's like.
Right. Okay. That is what it's about.
Okay.
But it's
But you
kind
say
of
that
been...
about every movie.
Yeah. Said that about Girl on the Train.
Civil War.
Yeah.
Civil War is about
Rogue
a bunch
One.
Of gay guys.
The guy's clearly gay. Vader wants to come out, but he can't.
I'll tell
why
you.
He's wearing a mask.
That's why he's pissed.
This movie, I was watching it, and it is... It is a mixed bag. There's some really good parts in it, and there's some really, really not so great filmmaking moments in this movie. First of all, it's set up like a Boyhood. So every little segment of his life is played pretty much by a different actor.
Okay.
So as soon as you get kind of used to one actor, they're gone. And then another actor comes in. The only one that is consistent is the mother, and then they kind of age her as the movie progresses. Now, for whatever reason, the gay angle that's only hinted at in the promotion and the marketing, even in the IMDb description, is actually a rather large part of the film. So I don't know what the marketing decision was to downplay that specifically, because the entire third act is just a gay relationship drama. Literally, just the third act of the film. That's all it is. So it's kind of like a bait and switch a little bit with the way they're promoting this movie.
I think it's hard enough to get this type of movie seen in the Midwest as
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of angry people leaving the theater.
God damn it!
So now this movie, what it does right and what it does wrong are very different things. What it does right is it... it brings you into this world and the life of this kid and as he's growing up and the issues that plague him. What it does wrong is it throws so many things at you that sometimes this movie is a really compelling drama and other times it's a walking social issue. Like, it just – it's like, okay, I get it. Yeah. Poverty, gang violence, racism, to alcoholic, drug-addled mother – crackhead mother, abusive mother. And like, so it's like, how much stuff are you going to throw at me at the actual, in this movie? And then, because what it does is it takes away from this character's journey. Because no, you're throwing so many things at me. Now, you see the character as less of a person going on a journey than a bunch of, like I said, social issues thrown at you. And the drug dealer mentor is only in the first segment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's also not very clear.
He's such a strong actor.
Such a strong actor, and this is one of the things where the movie really gets it wrong. Every little segment, not only is he such a strong actor, it's set up so well in the beginning that this person is going to be a mentor for his life. This movie doesn't show you some of the very important things. Like, it's just mentioned that he dies in the second segment, like, and you never see him again. Hmm. So it's like Bryan Cranston in Godzilla.
Right.
You know, it's this giant setup of this character and a very meaningful character, especially, and it doesn't, it just literally disappears. Here's the other problem. The main character,
I say
Little.
Real quick, why that's disappointing is, like, one of the things we learn is in the movie when Justin teaches Little how to swim, Marshall Ali is really teaching the actor,
yeah,
Alex Hibbert, how to swim, which
yes,
is like, wow, that's great, mm-hmm, filmmaking, that's great character development,
right,
that's great relationships.
Yeah. And that's why there's like some great scenes in this film, but then there's also scenes that fall flat and it just doesn't come together properly, because it's a story about poverty and gang violence, and it's a story about abusive parents. It's a story about growing up in the black experience, but then it's just a, towards the end, it's just a gay relationship drama, and that's all it
is. So do you feel like had it been marketed more that way, it would have been okay with you, or do you just feel like
it wasn't put together as a film? Properly is really what it was. It's the structure of the film that's the problem. The marketing added to that problem, but the overall problem of the film is it didn't know what it wanted to show and it didn't know what it wanted to do.
Oh,
like, what do you want to show me? What is your focus? Because it just goes off in all these different directions, and then it picks one at the end, and then that's just where it goes for like the last segment of the film. Here's the other issue: is that the character Little is sullen and withdrawn. Obviously, that's to be expected with the life that he's having. However, for cinema and for a movie, that's very difficult to get information from a character and from a story when you have a character that doesn't respond to anything.
Right.
So it's very difficult for an actor to emote without speaking. It's even more difficult to ask that of a child actor. So you have a lot of segments where people are talking to this character and there's no response, there's no dialogue, there's no emotion. It's literally shut off. So at some point you're like, well, just, I'm not getting any information or any emotion. Show me something. Say something. Do anything.
Is it like showing, oh, it's so much, the kid is just shut off? Is that? Do you think that's a scene or a choice? Or
if it was just a scene, great. But it's through the entire film. And even the other characters always comment on it. Oh, you don't talk much. You don't say anything. I'm like, well, yeah, but now as the audience, I'm not getting the information that I need to go on this journey with this character, because it's a blank slate. It's stone. So,
well, now I'm pissed because I feel like I could have played this role very well.
So this is the kind of movie that, too, it's a bit of a shame, because it was so ripe for, like, you know, a really compelling, interesting story, but it just kind of goes in too many different directions at once. Everything from the storytelling to the directing to the acting, like, it was very ambitious. Like, it was, all right, well, we're going to tell it in segments and have different actors for each thing. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of things going on, not only with the story, but also the way the story was told. And I think ultimately, if it was pared down a little bit and focused more, I think it would have been a better film.
Well, it's interesting because the director, Barry Jenkins, has done mainly shorts, but he did one other feature, Medicine for Melancholy, which came out in 2008, and it stars Wyatt Cenac in it. And I saw this at South by Southwest mm-hmm. when it came out, whatever, mm-hmm. 8 years ago.
Right.
And it's a really cool, subtle character piece, and Wyatt Cenac's great in it.
Yes.
Just having known him, and I know he's a comedian and stuff like that, to see him play this, and it's sort of a love letter to San Francisco.
Right.
So, and this is based on an unproduced play mm-hmm. titled In Moonlight, Black Boys Look Blue by Terrell Avon McCraney. So I wonder if it was trying, like, that happens in an indie film where they're trying to cover too much stuff. I don't know.
That's really what it felt like. It felt like we're trying to cover too much ground. We have limited resources. We're trying gimmicky things, like, you know, with different actors in each segment. It was almost like, just, no, you don't need to do so much. This is an amazing story, and this is can be really interesting and compelling. Stop trying to go in all these different directions with
just it. Like You Got Served Too.
Exactly.
The same,
yeah.
The,
yeah.
I said the
they're
same
the same
thing
problem.
You know, why are there so many different kinds of dancing in this
yeah,
movie?
I don't,
you know,
just
how, many, how many times can one person get served?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Just one big serve scene, and that's it. Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Do you think, though...
So I think it was good. It was a good movie. It had some really good and solid performances in it. It could have been better. There was a lot of places where it fell flat.
I feel like that's been happening, and we'll go into some more. That's been happening a lot this Oscar season. I've
right.
been seeing a lot of movies where I'm like, that was a couple of good scenes. Or those actors are good.
Yes.
But I haven't.
But it didn't come together completely as a film.
Seen one
right.
movie that's just like, damn.
Exactly. From uh-huh. start to finish, this blew me away.
I
exactly.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about Silence.
Yes.
Okay.
So Matt and I both saw that.
I saw mm-hmm. it yesterday.
All right. What were your thoughts first, Matt?
I thought it was pretty good, but it wasn't like a good time. I saw two movies yesterday that weren't a good time. I spent 4.5 hours yesterday thinking about shit that isn't that fun to think about. But what I really liked about this movie is it just shows you how many problems come from. Are we pausing? From
yeah.
modern delivery
yeah.
situation.
We just had a delivery guy show up.
Yeah.
All right, so you
and
were
saying.
And
wouldn't go away.
And wouldn't go yeah. away. Chris tried to chase him off. This, I've been telling you to get a stun gun for years.
I know, geez.
And now
yeah.
you need to
yeah.
get one.
I've had time to think about this movie now, and I
okay,
don't know
okay.
if I liked it as
no,
much as I liked
silence.
It 5 minutes ago.
Back to Silence.
No, I really gave this movie a chance because I love Martin Scorsese, as we all do. Mm-hmm. And
you love coiffy hair.
Yeah, I like coiffy hair. I love beautiful men who are starving to death. In robes. I really was thinking about, like, when I was watching this, like, how everybody must have smelled.
Yeah.
Isn't there one scene where, like, this woman's talking to Spider-Man,
yeah.
and he's like, oh, fuck. Like, he can smell her breath, and he just kind of turns away.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm all over the place with this. I thought it was pretty good. and I get I like the message in the movie that it's just, it's so crazy that two religions are using violence to win each other over when both philosophies are pretty similar
right.
in that you treat your fellow man with respect and you don't try to torture them.
Yeah, thank God that those days are over.
Yeah, we fixed that.
Oh, that's good. I think I like this movie.
Okay. Well,
but it wasn't like a good time.
It's... description I've ever heard of a film.
I'm not going to shit on this movie, but I don't know if I liked it.
I gotta say, like, the themes that you're talking about were the most compelling part to me.
Mm-hmm.
Two religions fighting each other, and also to give it some historical context, Japan is there's a couple of great scenes where there's this one head samurai, and he's like.
Was he wearing a medallion?
A medallion, yeah. That's what they have, a medal. Head samurai. Where he's like, he sort of tells a story, but basically what he's saying is, look, Spain, Portugal, and England are all trying to own us. They're all trying to come in here and turn this into a port, like they've done. They fought over Hong Kong. At that time, Shanghai was broken up literally like the Dutch. There was segments of Shanghai in those days in the 1600s, 1600s, that were legally owned by other countries.
Wow.
And Japan knew this. And Japan was like, we know how it starts.
Right.
You come in here with your religion and then you have power. Because that's how Europe was run, was by the various churches.
So, yeah, I was surprised to see that there was that much Christianity in Japan.
Yeah,
that's what the movie starts with. You're like, what, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they know enough about Christianity that they speak English.
Yeah, and so
essentially, right? Am I wrong about that?
I mean, that's the thing. So it's already started to come in, and
there's still Christianity in Japan.
Sure,
I didn't realize that. I thought it was, but then when we were there, Sinai goes, "No, there's a Christian population here.
There's a Christian population,
but this is before even the post office.
Yeah.
It's weird that you can spread your word like that.
Yeah, and so it was interesting to me. And again, I wanted to like this too. It's sort of what we just talked about with Moonlight a little bit. And it, like, you hear Martin Scorsese, you just, on paper, you're like, oh, wow. And then some of the trailer, you're like, oh, man. You know, like, the price for your glory is their suffering. And you're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. But man, Andrew Garfield, I'm sorry.
No?
I can't get on board with this cat.
Great hair. Are you kidding me?
Fantastic fake beard.
Yeah.
But like, I just...
And it looked like it was all connected, too.
It's hard for this cat to carry this type of a movie. Liam Neeson comes in at the very end of the film, and his scenes are... you go, oh...
Right.
That's what a guy who can carry a movie looks like.
How did, like, creepy Adam Driver do?
He did fine. You saw his ears in it?
Right.
He's got a lot of ear. I mean...
No, this is the first time I saw him where I wasn't like, oh, that's the fucking hipster from Girls.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I thought he did a decent job.
I think so, too. I think he did a decent job, and I think since Force Awakens, you know, that's sort of given him now... He's got this another indie film, Patterson, that is getting some buzz that I'm curious
to see. He was in Tracks, too. Remember that? We saw about the... Australian girl who trekked across the country.
He
was like a National Geographic reporter.
He's a good actor.
He's always been good. It's just he's to solid. Me, he's always it always like kind of takes me out of it a little bit because in the beginning of his career, he played so many New York hipsters
in
so many different movies and TV shows that I go, oh, that's the guy from fucking Williamsburg.
Yeah. Well, it's like how many times did Tom Hanks have to hear, oh, it's Kip. Before that finally went away.
But I think, like, and this role, it was one of the first times I was just like, oh, wow, he's playing this and his devotion. Andrew Garfield, this was such a tough part. And literally, like you say, it's uncomfortable. There's physical torture in this movie you have to watch.
Just for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, just a quick 90 minutes of watching a human getting beaten.
So it's a fair amount.
It's a but again, it's a 2 hour and 40
minutes. It's Cool
movie.
Hand Luke. It's like they're just like trying to get the guy to convert. And you realize so much of life is just what this is.
Right.
It's just, no, so you like the Broncos, dude. You live in Denver now. Yeah. You know what I mean? And people are like, no way, I'm a Chargers fan.
Right.
So like as far as the structure of the film, it was basically these missionaries went over to try to convert the Japanese to Christianity.
Right? Yeah.
And how they have to do it in secret because when they get there, it's been outlawed. So you're going to get killed. The Japanese, the shogun has said, we're going to kill
you. No Christianity.
It'd have been so much better if it was like 2002 and Driver and Garfield were trying to like pimp their band out to Japan.
They had like a hipster band.
I think Scorsese, like you don't think about it, but I think he really shines when there's an element, not a Tarantino level, but an element of pop culture to it. Because he knows how to capture an era that he's familiar with. And then maybe that I'm familiar with.
I think you're right. And I think, you know,
you can't play the Stones in this movie.
Right. Which, I was actually happy for that. I don't want to hear, please allow me. I don't want to hear that again. But like, I can't hear that. But
that's a perfect song to pick, though, actually. That's smart, Graham.
Yeah.
That and Wild Horses.
Yeah. So I like, you know, and Scorsese, to that point, Matt, he talked about in an interview, he grew up, Catholic and was going to go to, you know, seminary and all that stuff. And so he has a knowledge of this history of the Catholic Church and what it was trying to do. But also, and I just feel like it was the, I feel like it was part of the casting, and then it's 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Wow. Like, a lot of these.
And I got to tell you, this, most people won't have this experience, but I got to the theater late. And so I had to sit in the front row. So that's 2 hours and 40 minutes of a broken neck of crooked neck.
Crooked neck and beatings.
Yeah.
So
So I'm getting tortured too. So actually it's like sitting in one of those chairs that vibrates when it explodes in a movie. It's like that, whatever you call that, that high-end theater, but it was in Los Feliz 3, so.
It's worth seeing. It's long. Is it deserving? Maybe Adam Driver gets a supporting, Liam Neeson maybe.
There's no way you could pay attention to this movie at home in your house.
No.
Right? You got to see this in a movie theater.
You have to. There's maybe some cinematography could get some awards, but it's, again, it's another film that we like Moonlight, that like you want it to be like you walk out of there and go, best movie of the year.
Right. 360 dunk. You want to see
it. Yeah, and you walk out and you go, okay,
that was good.
Yeah, you know, some interesting stuff. And I have not seen one Oscar contender this year that has completely blown me away.
Right.
I've seen a lot of like flat out failures like Collateral Beauty and Passengers.
Right.
But it was a little.
You saved me from seeing one of those. I was excited.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's worth seeing, but you got to see it on the big screen.
And, you know, just chalk that day off to a bad time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like good art that you have to see that you won't enjoy.
Yeah. Have some happy to do immediately following.
Yeah, go see something really stupid afterwards.
Like?
I don't know.
Patriots Day.
Well, all right. That's not exactly a pick-me-up either.
Well, you want to talk about that next? You want to talk about Absolutely Fabulous, Chris?
Do Absolutely Fabulous.
Right, get into some AbFab.
Now, this movie, I have to say, I really enjoyed.
What?
I don't know if you guys watched the show.
I'd seen some of the show. I thought it was funny.
The show, it's funny. It's a funny movie. And I think what I was doing, too, is comparing it to like that horrible Office Party movie. When you have an American studio comedy, basically written and directed by committee, where everything is hitting these miserable beats, you don't care about the characters, the jokes, or anything. But then you have a movie like this, Absolutely Fabulous, that has such a vision and a voice because it's a very specific thing. It's based on these characters that you saw on a TV show, and they're very specific characters.
Right.
And there's a lot of jokes about the fashion industry and how useless PR is. And I'm sure there's specific model and fashion jokes that I didn't get, but it didn't matter because it was so silly and ridiculous.
And they didn't cater either.
No, they didn't cater. They just went, but I was laughing out loud in a lot of this movie. It was really funny. There was a rush to you know, sign Kate Moss after she lost her publicist. They're at a party, and literally the character like knocks her into the river. Like that, kind of
right?
Kate Moss like
you just
stunts.
Killed Kate Moss, yeah,
and she did her own stunts. Kate Moss doing her own stunts, guys.
It was great. It was, and it's 24 years after the debut of the show. And it was Idris Elba's first speaking part when he was on an episode of AbFab in 1995.
Who's?
Idris Elba's.
Oh, okay.
Now, one of the things I really liked about this movie, it had a lot of cameos in it. There's a cameo by John Hamm in this that is absolutely hysterical. It's so funny. He's so good in it. You want to, I just wish he was in more of the movie now because it was such a great scene. But it's really funny. It doesn't... It doesn't shy away from what it is. Like, they make jokes about having a gay following. They make jokes about, like, you know, their ages. The jokes about their ages because they're older women now. They're more mature women. They're, you know, 60s. You know, jokes about 60 being the new 40 and, you know, things and it was really good because it had a specific, like I said, a voice and a character, and the jokes were character-driven, so they made sense for all the characters. You know, the plot is very thin, but you don't care because you're just laughing through the entire thing. And it was just a really stark difference between having a comedy with a voice and a vision and having a comedy like Office Party without a voice and a vision.
To your point, though, and why I think when you look at closely, so that the Office Party is just sort of like you say, a studio, like hit these comedic beats and
right.
hire these comedic actors, where this is staying true to the show. So Mandy Fletcher, the director, directed a lot of TV and some episodes of the AFAB TV show. So
exactly.
It's like they're doing their thing their way, the right way. That's always, right. and we all know this as comics, when comics are allowed to do their thing,
mm-hmm. right.
their way, it's going to be funny
yes.
versus fit into this box.
Right. Now, not everyone may be on board because it's a more specific thing, right. but the right. people that are going to see it and enjoy it are really going to enjoy it. Whereas, like, Office Christmas Party is like, well, everyone's going to think it's okay. No one's going to think it's great, you know, and no one's going to really, like, it's all right. But
comedies right now stay within the lines so much. They almost right. have to.
Right.
Yeah. So to see that, like, you know, I think comedy often gets shortchanged where like, oh, when you have an auteur and a vision and a real directing style, it's just for drama and action and sci-fi. No. Comedy needs all those things just as much as all these other genres.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
And it was great to see.
It's fascinating. It is great to see. It is fascinating that they you know, put comedy at the kids' table in so many ways.
Right.
Like, we just need wacky jokes. We just need a couple set pieces. We don't need set design. We don't need any of these other things you put into a regular film.
It's almost right. like they're just looking for the single now. They're just looking for the one yes. scene that'll yes. play on right. YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. That's or it, the, you know? Like, what can we put in the trailer? Now we're done.
Just so
yeah.
everyone yeah. goes, oh, you got to see the lunchroom scene or whatever.
Right,
right. And then,
because it's like, and when you cater to the right thing, it's like Bad Moms.
Yes.
I thought Bad Moms was fucking mm-hmm. hilarious. And your wife, and, a bunch of moms yep. that I know saw it and loved it.
Were there any random jokes or were they all related to the characters?
They were all related to the
exactly.
characters. They were mm-hmm. all mom and parenting and right. school jokes. Mm-hmm. There was no joke in there that was like, these moms wouldn't make this kind of
right.
a joke.
You right, know,
they wouldn't
right,
make
right.
some sort of bro-y NFL joke
right?
or whatever.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
what I mean? They're going to make fucking mom parenting jokes.
Right.
And that's what was great. And again, like you're not in the fashion world, but you still found it funny.
Yes,
I'm
did.
Not a mom, and I still found Bad Moms funny.
Right.
When it's done correctly,
yes,
it resonates versus trying to please everybody.
Right. Like it just show like how out of touch like their credit cards wouldn't work. And one of the characters, Patsy, she goes, "Well, don't you have any of that? What is it? That hand money?" So stuff like that is just so funny, and it's so like, you know, like I said, character driven. So it's really worth I saw it on a plane, but it's worth your time, definitely.
All right.
Sounds good to me.
Let's do Patriots Day, buddy.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Now, Mark Wahlberg.
Bring us back. Now, I'm guessing based on a true story.
This is yeah.
Is it? Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'd be any kind of interesting if it weren't.
Like, that's what they're doing this. So he did Deepwater Horizon, which yes. is based on a true story. Lone Survivor
yeah.
was based on it. It's Peter Berg. Him and Peter Berg are doing.
The same director on all three of those?
Yep.
Oh, dude.
Same crew. So this is about.
I didn't see the first two. That's why I was lost.
So this is about the actual 2013 Boston Marathon. Mm-hmm. The bombing. And then the find how to find the guy.
Right.
How to find the culprit.
So how was it?
Oh, it was okay. The way you set it up, I thought it was gonna be like horrific. I thought it was like great if it was like a TV movie of the week type
right.
thing. Like it for me, someone who only casually watched it on the news, it was interesting to see all the details. It was very fucking uncomfortable since it was a true story,
right.
just knowing the bomb was going off and all those beautiful Hollywood actors were going to get blown up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay, man. Like, because I didn't know the story that well. I just seen clips on the news or whatever.
Lone Survivor was all right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I didn't see Deepwater Horizon, but like, these guys know how to capture the humanity of an actual
right,
event.
Right.
With Mark Wahlberg being all Mark Wahlberg-y. You
the
know?
Weirdest part about it, I thought, was like,
did the plants do it at the end?
There's this like, there's not that many jokes in it. And then like at the end, there's like two jokes by like fucking J.K. Simmons.
Really?
Yeah. Like it's not that lighthearted of a movie.
Of course. It's not a lighthearted subject.
But. Yeah. But like, there's not even that much of a sense of humor. Like amongst the characters, maybe a little bit in the opening scene with the guy got hit in the head. I don't want to spoil one of the only jokes. He says he's got hit in the head with the well, I have to spoil the joke. I can't remember the fake name. With an iron.
Right.
And then there's another joke. J.K. Simmons is like, I gotta quit smoking. After he almost got shot to death. And then he also goes, well, that boat's not going to fucking go in the water anymore. Do you know what I mean? There's like three jokes in this fucking movie that seem like really out of place to me.
It wasn't like, were they trying to like show the sort of Boston sarcasm
in
the midst of this tough thing and they're all working together to figure it out?
I think that is always in Boston. I just actually was going, I bet the guy didn't make that joke at that time. You know what I mean? Because he almost just got shot to shit.
Right.
Did it feel like by the numbers kind of thing? Or did it feel like, you know, we're really going to take the subject and do something interesting?
It was by the numbers, but I wouldn't expect anything else from it.
Right.
Like, it gave me exactly what I expected. Mm-hmm. That's why I really wasn't that disappointed.
Right.
And I went to see it specifically for this podcast, so I didn't feel like I made a bad choice. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going to see it. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have any of that. Oh, man. When you go to the multiplex now, it's like, should have seen this.
I know.
Should have seen that. God damn it. There was none of that. So I could just enjoy it for what it was.
I got to give you credit. You're one of the few guests that sees two movies before coming.
Yeah, well,
well, I don't want to come in here and not be able to speak. That's like ridiculous.
I wish more comics.
God bless you.
God bless you. You should spread the word on that. Somebody comics show up and go, oh, you guys talk about movies? Yeah, fuck not.
Yeah, I know. If that's all you guys are talking about, then I better do some fucking homework.
We're not going to just talk about one.
Right. And honestly, I wanted the excuse to go see two movies. I never give myself that luxury.
That's awesome.
I love going to movies. It's one of the few places you can go nowadays where you like have to turn off your phone. Yep. That doesn't mean everyone does it. I do it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like I can actually fuck tune drugs out. And alcohol. You can actually like tune out your life. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can go alone. Movie. Yeah. You know, it's I've never seen so many movies alone until since we started doing the podcast.
I love going to movies. I mean, I love going with my girlfriend, but it's also cool just going to a movie alone.
Yeah,
dude. Just sitting there in the chilling. Back row, being a weirdo.
Fuck yeah.
Smuggling in my own food.
I was in like I was in
a homeless person.
I was in a suit
like a
too,
weirdo.
I sit in the back upper left or right corner.
You just like make noises
Well, I usually smuggle in food and I sit in the back away from people.
Right.
Like when we went to some of those fan ones, you always get tickets like in the middle of the row and there's someone kicking my seat. And I'm like, if I was here alone,
I'd be in the back.
Like, no one would be behind me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I treat a movie theater kind of like an airplane. I want an aisle. I want to get in and out.
Yeah.
Unless it's one of those, the curvy screens.
Right. So it was all right. Well, that's all right. I'm curious.
What I really didn't like was when they showed like, I don't like when a movie transitions from a Hollywood production into a documentary where they show the real people that the actors played and stuff. For some reason, I don't like that.
I don't have a problem. They did that with Sully and I didn't mind that.
Uh-huh. Because
I don't know. Maybe I kind of, I'll get in on this next movie, whenever I see a historical drama that actually happened, there's always the part of me that's like, well, did that really happen? Did they really say that in that moment? Or what was it really like?
Did that guy really look like Jim Parsons?
Yeah, exactly.
they cast well. Everybody looked like they were supposed to.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a Boston guy, so.
Right.
All right. I'll probably see this.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
I have not seen it. What I saw was Hidden Figures.
Now, this one I am excited to see.
That segue?
Yes, I did.
I guess segregated equations was already taken.
Yeah. But this is the kind of movie, too, that, you know, I think it's a really cool story. Like, I'm really excited to see this movie.
I felt the same way. I love that space era. I love I saw The Right Stuff when I was a kid. You know, I thought, I was born in 1969. My mom was pregnant with me when they landed on the moon. Like, so the space race, that era of American history, I love it. I've watched a million documentaries on it. I've watched all kinds of stuff. And I didn't know this happened, so that I was the same way. I was like, oh, well, I want to know this. I liked Apollo 13. I know you don't because it's Ron Howard. But, yes.
No, I don't like Ron Howard because of Apollo 13.
So do you not like him at all anymore?
No.
This is a long time.
Do you like Arrested Development? I know he didn't direct it, but he
no, I never liked Arrested Development.
All right, well, that answers my question.
And also didn't like what is it? Da Vinci Code movies either.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for the next one. I like Octavia Spencer and Tazarji, I'm not pronouncing that, Henson. Those are fine actresses. Janelle Monáe is a great singer, and I'm like, is she going to be a great actress? I'm curious to see this because she is. She just has that thing. Like, I was like, oh, Justin Timberlake. You know, like, they're professional entertainers.
Yeah.
They know how to light up a stage, and they're going to light up a camera.
You're right. They are terrible. No, I'm just kidding. Me and JT are tied, dude. That's a joke.
But, like, I thought she was really good. I thought Janelle Monáe was really good in this. And they did that thing at the end where they show the photos of the actual people, which I know it's so formulaic, and this movie had very sort of biopic formula points to it. Part of me is like, well, yeah. Though I wanna.
Right. Don't make me pull out my iPhone.
Like, I wanna see the photo. But the question I had is, like, during some of the, and again, it's a good movie. Good scenes, good actors. Kevin Costner is all Kevin Costnerified. He's doing a great. And those old photos, it's all white dudes with crew cuts and glasses and black ties and white shirts.
Texas, baby.
It's all that. It's all, they're all like doing that. So that was accurate. And, you know, how these women had to break through the color barrier in this thing and the actual facts of, in 1961, they had just nerds and they were called computers. Mm-hmm. You had to do the figures, and they're trying to fit. We're getting this new IBM thing, you know, and it was the IBM thing that accelerated the space race for us.
And so a person was a computer?
Yeah, literally. They were like, and they had the colored computers, and it was the section of colored women doing math, long form math, and all this, you know, engineering stuff. And it was like,
it's like when Don Draper's office got a computer. Is that kind of that?
I mean, it's that era. It was 1961, and it's taking place in Langley, Virginia. So Virginia was still segregated. Virginia still had white and colored drinking fountains. It still had segregated schools. It was still part of the South. It wouldn't acknowledge.
Was it weird seeing space nerd racists?
Yeah, it was. So it was like,
this is where
I question, and it's like, when you had Jim Parsons. So Jim Parsons plays one of the mathematicians, and he's resentful that T'Jara Henson's character has moved into, like, she's moved up from, like, literally the colored section to, like, where all the white dudes are doing the big work.
And she's a woman on top of it.
And she's a woman. So they go into that, too. Like, women aren't allowed in here. Let alone a black woman.
Right.
And so she's fighting all that, and he sort of is resentful of her at first. This is where I kept going, I want to watch a documentary. I want to see interviews, if these women are still alive. I don't think so, but like, how were they actually treated?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did this happen? Were these guys this rude?
Mm-hmm.
Because Kevin Costner kept going, guys, I don't care. Like, this needs to happen. We're putting a man on the moon. We can't, you know, and you're seeing, like, oh, Sputnik just happened. And the president, you know, Kennedy's like, his guy is coming down and screaming at everybody going, why are we losing to the Russians? And all that stuff.
I mean, it was literally, I mean, there was that, what's the word I'm looking for? It's that anxiety of, like, that whole space race thing, like, no one can get ahead of us. There's no way. If something is up there, forget it. Now we're losing.
If Sputnik's up there, they could drop a bomb on us.
Right, exactly.
It was the dawn of the atomic age. Right. So it was like, it was no joke.
If we're behind, it puts us at risk.
It puts us at risk. Mm-hmm. The Soviet Union has flat out said, we want to dominate the world. At that point in time, the Soviet Union had said that.
We have a dog on the moon.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're going to drop a bomb on you.
So it was real. And Kevin Costner. So then when that started happening, I was still like, were people still sort of like.
I think the answer is yes.
Probably.
I think the answer is yes. I think it was more of a compromise all around, just using my imagination. I haven't seen the movie. But I bet you they made more of a hero out of Costner going, now, guys.
Yeah.
I bet you he was a dick too.
Yeah, and also, like, I wonder, because in some of the ways that they were, it was sort of that kind of cliche white character from that era. I know white people were, a lot of them were awful at that era, and still awful today.
I met one this weekend.
Yeah, so I'm not saying, but it just seemed from, like, a character writing standpoint, sometimes it's just sort of like, oh, here's the white guy going, y'all ain't allowed here. Like, I know there were people saying that. There's news footage. But were they actually saying that in NASA?
That's the problem with movies is you have to make every scene,
right,
you know, further the story. So they have to make this one guy. They want to hire two actors? No, we'll just have this one character
right
say all the racist guy's lines.
Right.
But unfortunately, he has like a real name that was a real person.
Right.
So I don't think these movies are ever even close to accurate. Right.
I agree. That's just sort of the like, well, we can't make a 5-hour movie. So, but those are always the questions. It's like when I watched Apollo 13 and they were arguing and I was like, there's no way astronauts were arguing. And I saw the actual astronauts were like, well, we wanted to, but there was no time. Cause it was literally like, if we don't do this, we're going to die. So how do we solve this problem? Let's do the math. Let's do the math. So that's the thing where, I guess that's just my space nerd. Like, I want to just see that happen. And I kept going, I'd love to see a documentary about this. That being said, that's all of my nerdy biopic criticisms.
It's kind of like good then, because it's like, this is all you got.
Right.
If they don't have the real documentary,
this is
then
all
fuck
got.
It. This is kind of...
And so... It is worth watching. It is a good story. The director, Theodore Melfi, has done St. Vincent and Winding Roads, which St. Vincent I really liked a lot. And there's some cool stuff in it. They, you know, and you see how this happened and you see the space race. You see how, like, everyone's gathering around a TV back in those days to watch what this happened. And there's certain stuff I sort of knew historically. I was like, oh fuck, that's right. You know? Mm-hmm. And then seeing how they dealt with it. And it was really cool. It's an interesting story and it's really compelling.
Did they do that cool thing like on Mad Men, whenever they were watching a monitor or TV, it was like old black and white footage?
Yeah. They would get the actual black and white footage. And then they did a good job of showing, you know, in the control center, and then they showed at the end photos of the actual control. They showed the control center. They showed this 10-foot high chalkboard. That's how they did the math.
Right.
God damn.
That's how they put
that
someone.
That is a long division.
Yeah. They did that on a chalkboard with a ladder.
Right.
That's how we put people in space.
That's crazy.
50 years ago.
That's crazy.
Like, you're like, wow. So that was cool.
How did it even happen?
How did it happen? And when you hear them talk about that, and the thing they kept saying, it was a recurring theme, but it was a good theme to have, because they kept saying, someone like, well, we've never, you know, had a woman in there or a black person in there. Well, we've never had a guy in a rocket going around the Earth.
Right.
Either.
We've never done any of this.
We've never done any of this. You know, and it starts like Janelle Monáe's like, I want to be an engineer, but they'll never let me. And one of the engineers goes, I'm a Polish Jew. Most of my family's dead from World War II. I shouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. And we're putting a guy, like, there's all these scenes. You're like, okay, and it's cool. It's cool.
Funny how that didn't just, like, completely squash racism dead. like, boom. Like, you know, but I doubt, that was not, like, mentioned on the news or anything back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. That was, like, very, they didn't go into the details. They were like, here's the fucking moon. Here's the guy jumping on it.
Yeah, a bunch of white guys in suits did this.
And then it went, dinch, 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 dinch. And then Aha came on and you forgot all about it.
Matt showing his age from MTV.
42 years old. Not afraid of it.
But it's a good film. There's good performances. There's going to be nominations. It still wasn't like that. Was blew me away. Like,
right.
It's a solid film.
Yeah.
It's worth seeing. It's worth seeing for the historical context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was cool watching it on MLK Day and you know, that was a cool thing. It's especially knowing who's getting sworn in to the White House soon. Like, it's worth talking about.
I wish they would let you present at the Oscars and be like, this year was all right. It was good. It was all right. It went bad. I'm not saying it was bad.
No, not all the bad. Not all the home runs.
I'm just saying, don't take these trophies too seriously this year. That's all I'm saying.
Bunting a guy in is still a win. It's just not exciting.
Everyone showed up to work this year. All right? Everyone did quality work.
So, yeah, that's it. That's Hidden Figures.
All right. So now we actually have a sponsor for this episode. This is a new sponsor and an independent sponsor. These are the makers of the web series Guardian Pigeons on YouTube from out of Australia. This is a series by Avin Yap. Now, one of the things we like to do, too, here at Comedy Film Nerds is we also like to promote other artists. So we keep advertising space available for when an artist has something to promote. And, you know, I'll tell you right now, it's a reduced rate because we want to pay it forward and give something back as far as helping out other artists. Now, I was able to watch this. This is a really interesting web series. It's got these kind of like different
place
in Australia. It's got these different elements to it. It's got a lot of slapping in it. There's some slapstick comedy, of slapping. There's a couple weird like David Lynchian moments. And what I like too is watching, like, these are obviously all young artists, young directors, young writers, young actors. Watching the evolution of actors. Because the other thing, too, is if you look back on any artist's evolution, the first couple things are made, there's always a little rough around the edges. We have them. We all do. And I love seeing the evolution. So even as you watch, like, from episode to episode, you see everything get a little more polished, a little tighter. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to watch the journey.
I had a laugh out loud the first one where she's like, I don't care if the sponsor's pulled out of Pigeon Con.
Yeah. The story is about two dueling pigeon conventions.
Yeah.
And about two people who were best friends and now they're enemies. And then she lives with her rival son, but it's not quite clear if there's a romantic involvement or not. So it goes in a couple different directions and it's definitely fun. And they're not that long.
They're 8-minute episodes. Yeah. There's cool animation to do the thing. So it's really,
it's very ambitious.
It's really ambitious. Like, it's on YouTube. They're just trying to get a lot of subscribers. The more likes and subscribers they get, you know, this is a way, guys, for you to support an independent artist without spending any money.
Yes.
You know, because subscription model and the like model and the click-through model.
It costs you nothing to check this out.
It's awesome. And it's really cool because they're trying something different. And it reminds me of that, like, when you're a young, like, college or right out of college, you have a group of filmmaker friends and you have you all work on each other's projects, you act in them, you hold camera, you do whatever, and it really has that feel to it, which is cool. And
somebody who's holding a boom might be starring in the next scene.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So, and there's scenes with a lot of extras and they really
there's a lot of people.
They kind
it's
of
very
they
ambitious.
A lot of stuff together.
Everything from
like I said, the animation is awesome.
There's an animated title sequence, and one of the notes from the director is that it combines animation, live action, non-linear storytelling techniques, and a documentary style to ground a real and honest story.
Yeah.
So I like getting the PR stuff so you can actually see the intention of the director, too.
And they're taking risks. They're trying stuff, and they're swinging for the fences, which I think you should do if you're trying something. I mean, that's like there's people making millions of dollars on YouTube opening up goddamn gift boxes.
Yeah, toys. Like, opening up dolls.
Yeah, so why not give these guys a look for doing a scripted thing and trying
something
new? And a bunch of Australian actors and stuff that you probably don't know. you know, which is cool. So it's called Guardian Pigeons, and it's a series by
Avin Yap, and he's a Malaysian-born film producer and a composer and screenwriter based in Brisbane, Australia. He's done all sorts of short films and stop-motion animations. So
it's all shot
check
around
it out.
Queensland. It's
yes.
all up there in that area on the Gold Coast.
And we want to thank those guys for supporting us, and we're happy to support Guardian Pigeons.
Yeah, and if you want to fly us out to be in something, I'll go see. all right, let's go into some trailers.
Yes.
All right.
Chips. I want to hear what you guys have to say about this trailer.
Matt, you first.
Well, it's like we were talking about with all comedies. Like, you know this isn't going to be a knockout. This is like a 2016 movie, even though it's 2017. It's not going to be anything special, but you're probably going to laugh a little bit. I don't really know what to say. I don't want to shit on this movie altogether. I just saw the trailer.
Uh-huh.
But it's like what all this is. I mean, this whole remake, the movie or the TV show thing with like this handful of 10, what we've deemed the comedy actors now. I'm just a little bit tired of it. It was very cute during Starsky and Hutch about 12 years ago. Having said that, if I'm watching it at 1 a.m. or hungover on cable, I'll probably enjoy it on some level. I watched the original Chips. I could probably take this.
Well, I give a lot of credit to Dax Shepard's agent.
Yeah.
He wrote and directed it.
They somehow got greenlit as to write, star, and direct this movie.
You know, and I think he probably grew up watching Chips the way we all did.
Not according to that trailer.
So maybe he wisely bought the rights to this or something. I don't know. But
they were like $9.99 on eBay.
Yeah.
for a while.
The Chips rights were on eBay. Yeah.
$9.99.
I think he outbid a guy. Got it for $13.
Yeah. It was a bidding war. All the way up to $20.
I was biting my nails there for a minute.
I like Michael Pena.
Me too.
There's
love
a couple
him.
Funny scenes, but then it got there's too many jokes in it.
Yeah, if only there were more dick jokes in the trailer.
Yeah, there's all these like don't get your dick near me jokes. There's like five of them in the trailer.
Yeah, just the trailer. So you're imagining the trailer going, oh man, these are the best scenes. There's nothing else like
when he
do.
Talks about his dick.
Yeah.
And when he does the stunts. The stunts look good.
Yeah. A lot of tight underwear, the guy's tight underwear dick close to the guy's face. There's a lot, several of those in the trailer.
In the trailer, yeah. So you can only imagine how many are actually in the film.
You got to figure the plot's going to be better than the average episode of Chips, though. Didn't they just have like pile-ups and be like, we got to clear up this pile-up?
Yeah, that was it. And then there was always a B story of like, Ponch was on a date or something that. You know, right. Like it was.
But the plot, it wasn't, you didn't have to do much
It was,
for a plot back then. It was just quote, like, should I?
Chips crash. That's all it was. Yeah.
Right. The subplot would be like, should I make tacos or should I make hamburgers?
Yeah, that was it.
And then be a good freeze frame. I do like the freeze frame at the end.
The freeze frame at the end. It was an Emergency 51, the show Emergency. It was that template.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there was a couple of small fires, and in Chips there was a couple of small incidents, and then a big one, and then a subplot of shenanigans with the boys at the precinct, you know.
Sometimes they wouldn't even wrap up a plot.
Yeah.
Like, I remember one, like, fruit stand got crashed or something in the beginning of an episode, and, like, one of the cops goes, who's going to clean this up? And then they just never fucking...
No one. Not my job. That's who's going to clean this up.
Someone else.
So like I remember one like Ponch was on a game show and so he was training. They kept taking him to department stores to guess the price of how much of the microwaves.
Oh my god, that's
so that was
great.
The subplot while they're out, you know, keeping the freeways of LA safe, and then the end of the spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. Then the end of the episode, he gets all the way to the final round, and it's a motorcycle, and they're like, he's got this, and then blows it. And then freeze frame with Ponch, you know, oh, doink, warp, warp. Like,
and every episode, too, for every crash, there was always a ramp. Like, you know, something would always go.
Always a ramp. There was always a ramp. Everyone just happened to put down a ramp on a crowded freeway.
Right. There was also, like, several episodes where they went undercover at like derbies, dirt derbies. They'd leave that alone for 2 years and then just come back to it.
So yeah, it's not like this movie is destroying some sacred piece of art.
It might even improve it.
It might even improve it.
I think it's going to be one of the worst movies of 2017.
All right,
that's my I think, you know, the Razzie Awards are already putting it on the list.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They're already putting it in the making invitations with this at the top of the list based on the trailer. All right. Another trailer. I Am Michael, the James Franco true story about a guy who was gay and then was debating his faith. Like, I'm a Christian. Can I be a Christian and gay? And then suddenly says, oh, no, maybe can gays go straight? And
started his own church.
Starts a huge controversy about this within the gay community, within the Christian community.
Yes.
And it looks like Zachary Quinto's in it. Mm-hmm. You might know him as Spock or the creepy guy from Heroes.
Yes.
Remember
creepy
Heroes?
Guy from Star Trek?
Yeah, remember Heroes?
Creepy guy from American Horror Story.
Yes. He always plays a creepy guy. This guy, he plays a gay dude.
Now, this movie, it's always, whenever I hear James Franco, I'm like, I never know what I'm gonna get. Like,
yeah,
you know,
because he just did like a bad comedy there. Well, I don't know if it was good or not. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But it's like, why you just him? Did like a why silly, yeah. you just did a silly comedy
so,
by him.
So you never know, like, but also he kind of produces and does his own things too. Like, I think he did some weird short film anthology on his own, and
he does crazy stuff. Like, wasn't he a soap opera actor?
There's all sorts of stuff that he does. So you never know, like, what you're going to get when you get a James Franco project. And some of the stuff's excellent. Like this one, I thought, okay,
27 hours.
Yeah,
was fantastic.
So I'm thinking, like, as I'm watching this trailer, I'm like, you know what? This feels like a passion project. It feels well crafted, and it's based on a true story. This one, I'm on board for. I think this one's going to be good.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's going to be.
He's gay a lot.
Yeah, he should have been in Chips.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm
oh, you know, there's going to be a scene in Chips at a male strip club. Yeah. You know,
of
there's
course.
One already.
Of course. Of course. There already was.
And they get there by mistake.
Whoops.
Right.
How did we get here? Yeah.
And then they kind of play chicken. Well, I'm not leaving. Yeah. Look, we got to stay here to arrest Joe so and so.
This is a stakeout.
I kind of liked it.
What? This is interesting. This is an interesting subject matter, this Franco movie. There was a comic on the open mic scene in the early 2000s in LA who claimed that he was gay. And that religion brought him back to heterosexuality. And audiences were not down with this shit. He got heckled more than anyone I ever saw. Everyone was like, no way.
What,
fuck
did he
you.
Open with that?
It was his whole thing.
Oh, wow.
It was his whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Now he's playing at the inauguration.
Jesus healed me.
Oh, good. Well, the thing that's interesting about I Am Michael, it was made in 2015. And for whatever reason, it has been pushed back to a January 27th release date.
Don't you see, man?
You know, like, I don't know what, why.
This is the Illuminati at work. See, they knew Trump was going to be president.
But it feels like, yeah, because it feels like this is like.
This is part of the balance.
Like, wouldn't this be like a let's release this for Oscar consideration?
Yes.
Why are we releasing this in late January?
I don't know.
Limited release, or like I'm confused about a lot of this.
Has that become a move now? You put it out early in 2000, early in the year.
Well, you do a qualifying,
and then you,
run,
and then you,
but towards the end,
and then you fight for it. Like, you guys got to go back and watch it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really.
No one else does that, right? It's all December.
It's
December.
Then, even if the movie isn't finished,
you know what? It might have had a limited release. It might have had a limited release in 2016 because people are talking about this. Yeah.
There could have been distribution errors, like the distribution company, a deal fell through or went sour, and then they had to get another, you know, there's a million things that could have happened.
Right. All right.
So, okay, and let's see, we'll just go to DVDs. Girl on the Train.
I saw this.
I remember you talking about it. Yeah.
Second review. Second review. Has it improved?
It's not a great week for DVDs.
No, it's not. I wouldn't. I don't know that I would see that. I don't know that I would see Ouija 2, Origin of Evil.
Wow.
Or how about Keeping Up with the Joneses?
Yeah, there's none of these movies that I would see. I would go.
If Ouija 2 could really prove the origin of evil, I would love to see that.
I would see it.
If that really was
like the first day
of
evil.
Origin of evil. Yeah.
Here's where it is. And here's the website you can go to stop.
Yeah.
Like, is there an online survey we can all take? Or a?
Oh, there's a donate button.
Oh, yes. Great. To stop the evil.
Good. Fight evil. I did something today.
Emailed the senator and I fought evil.
10 cents against the devil.
This is the name of your next album.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, not a good deal. I'd go get caught up on all of these like Oscar contenders, the ones that were nominated and won for the Golden Globes. The Oscar nominations are coming out this week, I believe.
Because they're all, you know, they're pretty good. They're not great, but they're all pretty good, you know.
Not bad.
You know, you'll enjoy it.
There's also some indie horror out now that's kind of getting buried a little bit because we're kind of into that dumping ground. Uh-huh. It's either like October or like the January, February. Like
that's a new genre, right? Indie horror?
Indie. Yeah.
I saw one this year.
It's where
the guy was in a band and they played like a skinhead show.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The and it's where the most interesting things in horror are kind of happening.
Right.
Like Neil was talking about on the site, the Autopsy of Jane Doe. And he said it's a great, you know, contained, small, great indie horror film where a woman comes in, they start the autopsy, and it starts to unfold what happened to this girl, and then things kind of go really bad from there, and turns out as they're doing the autopsy, she may not be completely dead.
Yes.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So
we got something to watch on the road next
time.
Yeah, well, I think I just had the best moment.
Yeah. Autopsy of Jane Doe. And Neil said it's like one of those movies that just it's really good, and it goes in some interesting directions towards the end.
All right.
And what do we got for premiering this week?
The Founder. Now, we had someone on the show talk about
the Ray Kroc story.
This is the Michael Keaton story.
Did they like it?
Yeah. It's
I bet she'll make you mad. I bet she'll make you mad.
I know. It's
Mr. Mom, rip me off.
I know. You're gonna be like, Batman, Mr. Mom stole this franchise.
They stole my McDonald's.
But like, yeah, I like Michael Keaton. We all should know the history of McDonald's just because
it's part of our culture.
It is. And it's a
Also if you're a young entrepreneur,
you should know.
The vultures are out there.
Yeah.
Things have not changed.
Nothing has changed. But it also shows...
Except Michael Keaton is now playing the vulture.
Yeah. Right. He used to be the likable guy.
Yeah. He's the young guy now. He's the bad guy. But yeah, I'm excited to see it. It got a limited release to get some nomination stuff, but now it's wide. So I've checked that out versus... Unless you really want to stay home and watch Ouija 2.
We should make a movie...
Origin of Evil.
Yeah. We should make a movie about how evil Coca-Cola is. Or like the founder of Coca-Cola, see if we can't get shut down. I'm kind of surprised this movie could even come out.
I know.
In a way.
Well, Super Size Me came out.
Yeah,
that's true. That's much worse.
My favorite PR moment was after that movie came out when McDonald's stopped doing Super Size Meals.
Yeah.
And they said the timing of the film had nothing to do with their decision.
Right. Stick to it.
Yeah.
You evil clown. Ouija 3, the origin of McDonald's.
M. Night Shyamalan's back with Split.
Yeah, are you still waiting for that comeback?
This is it.
Yeah.
Jimmy McAvoy is going to bring his 27 characters.
This is it. Wait, the girl lives in the pool? I don't understand.
This is a weird... The condo complex.
Did I get that right?
Pool?
I love the development of this movie. Like, well, why don't we just watch Raising Kane and then we'll make this movie?
I'm sure you guys have covered this already, but like Happiness, wasn't there supposed to be a twist ending and then there just wasn't?
Which one?
And that's the Marky Wahlberg one.
Yeah.
That was like when
Happening.
Happening.
That's when people fucking turned on him. They're like, no surprise ending. Fuck you. Yeah, the ending was they just got on the news and they're like, yeah, that was just a fluke occurrence. We don't know what happened.
The plants went bad.
Yeah.
The whole movie, Mark Wahlberg, what's happening? Why are the plants bad?
Everybody in the theater's like, we want a goddamn supernatural payoff.
Yeah, that movie was a disappointment. Had a fantastic trailer.
Mm-hmm.
He's becoming the Michael Bay of suspense. Great trailer.
What has he done since then? Okay.
This is it, buddy. Split. Buckle up.
I saw something when a bunch of people were trapped in an elevator, but he really didn't have much
Devil.
To do with that, right?
He had enough to do with that
to make that poor choice.
And then there was the Grandma's House movie, that one. Then there
with
was
Martin
the
Lawrence?
No.
Taunted.
Kind of felt
turns
like
in
it.
The pool. Yeah. It was crazy.
The big twist is it was Martin Lawrence the whole time in a fat suit.
Next movie is Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage.
Yes.
I've never seen any of those. I saw it with the sound off in a bar one time. Looked all right.
Yeah.
And I do like the line where he goes, I'm a love serving my country.
Yes.
When he's about to bang some broad.
Trailer.
And skateboarding. I love skateboarding.
Yeah. Yes.
There's no reason not to call this a Fast and Furious movie.
Fast and Furious.
It's the exact same movie with a different
title.
Fast
and Furious 10. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what
at the end, they should give the plans to Paul Walker.
Yeah.
And he should say something about hope.
It's Fast and Furious.
Yeah. With a skateboard.
Like Vin Diesel's character in Fast and Furious just goes, I got a side job.
Yeah.
And then goes and does a gig for Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
On a motorcycle. While they're...
Radical and ravenous.
Yeah, while they're racing.
They might even be shooting them simultaneously at the same time.
It's the same crew. It has to be like the same cars, the same stunt team.
Let me catch this bad guy with a kickflip down his handrail.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
I'm excited.
So there is... the thing I love about these movies, too, is there's no pretension to them. Like, this is it. You're either in or you're
right,
out.
Right, right. Yeah. That is nice. That
and
is
we don't
nice
blame
gesture.
You either way.
Right.
Yeah. They're like, this yeah. is what we're doing.
Yeah.
20th Century Women is the next one. This is the Annette Bening drama with the relationship between her and her son. Actually, I saw that. It looks good. It looks like really.
It looks like it's going to make me furious.
Right? Okay.
What? Just childhood issues.
Okay.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah.
Other than that, though, as far as a film put together,
I'm sure it's a well executed film.
Yes. So I'm hoping it's good.
Much like knives are well crafted when they stick into your heart.
Sure.
The next one is Trespass Against Us. Mm-hmm. Now, this is this weird UK crime family movie with Michael Fassbender.
Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah. So it's, they live in trailers that are like very small time. Crooks, and he doesn't want to be a crook anymore. He wants to take care of his family, but the father keeps pushing him into it. So what it reminds me of? That Jennifer Lawrence movie,
Winter's Bone.
Yeah,
I think it's like a UK version of
right
that.
It really
like
felt
if,
that
or
way.
Like if Snatch was just about
Brad Pitt's
character, his family, and it was a drama. It wasn't.
Right.
It wasn't a comedy.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. These guys are great actors, and I love any sort of weird. It's like Animal Kingdom, Like,
yes, that,
like,
it has that feel to it for sure.
So I like.
But in trailers.
But in trailers, in trailers.
So wow, that is our show. Is that a supersized show?
It was a big banger. It was $1.15.
We covered a fair amount of films.
We talked about the 6 or 7 movies on this thing today. Come on, guys. It wasn't a lot of nonsense.
We nailed it.
We did totally.
We did really bang it out.
Remember when we were talking about Hidden Figures?
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
Oh. Yeah, it's bringing me back.
Remember Silence? Remember guys talking about Silence?
Let's recap the episode.
Everything was just kind of good.
Like before a movie, they go, you saw an advertisement for deodorant and figured out how to make a birdhouse.
Well, that's our show. Matt, where can people see you on the stage?
Just go to thefullcharge.com. That's thefullcharge.com. That's me on Twitter, too. And I got dates up on my website. My podcast is up on my website. It's all happening on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, internet. Make it happen. As we said, guys, no show at SF Sketchfest January 24th. We apologize for that, but
DVDs in stock.
Earbuds, DVDs are available. Posters, like we say, spend $20 with us once a year.
And we have t-shirts, too. We have earbuds shirts.
Shirts,
as well.
All kind of earbuds merchandise, guys. So do that so we can keep the lights on and have the time to go to some shows.
Yes.
Anything else? Anything else to discuss, talk about?
Those are the main things. We got a lot of stuff we're working on for this year as the Comedy Film Nerds kind of grows and expands. So we'll be making some announcements. But for now, it's all about earbuds. We want to get you Kickstarter supporters, your rewards. I know it's been a long journey, but we are finally getting there. So the first batch of DVDs will go out this week.
Yeah, and supporting earbuds means those other projects we're looking to make. We've got some scripts. We're going to do some scripted stuff. So,
yes.
Support us in any way you can, and we can do more of this business. I think that's our episode.
Right? That is. That's
a good.
You're right. The full size.
I think we got it. Full size, full charge episode is what it was. Thank you once again to our guest, Matt Fulcheron.
Thank you.
I'm Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.